if you try to bottle up the satisfaction that God gives you in Himself, it will rot. All the unreached peoples in the world are to be brought into the joy that we have in the supremacy of God.
Christianity is a ticket to joy, but it's not a license to keep it for yourself. Welcome to Desiring God Radio with John Piper. If I were to begin a list with preaching, prayer, and what would you put next? Preaching, prayer, and what? Today we're going to begin the final message in a three-message set. John's title is The Supremacy of God in Missions. And evidently, John, you believe a church without missions isn't just missing something peripheral.
No, in fact, the very mission statement at the center of our church is we exist to spread, the key word there, spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples. The very last thing Jesus said, and I assume that means it's important, before he went back to heaven was, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. So the very last crucial thing he put on the church until the end of the age, and we're not there yet, is making disciples of those who are not yet believers in Jesus. And the reason it has to be so central is because the glory of God is central, and people who don't believe in Jesus are trampling the glory of God in the dirt because of their unbelief or indifference, and therefore we love the glory of God, and we want them to see the glory of God and savor the glory of God and magnify in the world the glory of God. And so missions, for anybody who loves the glory of God as the central reality in the universe, has to be one of our central tasks.
The setting for this series was a gathering in Charlotte, North Carolina, of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And if you would like a copy of this set, stay with us at the close today. I'll tell you how to get one. If you can't stay till the end, visit our website where you can listen to and download these programs free, and where you can also read and print out John's message manuscripts going all the way back to 1980. You'll find them on the radio page at desiringgod.org. And, of course, the previous two are in the radio archive at www.desiringgod.org.
Let me, for those of you who haven't been here, try to, in 2 minutes, pull the pieces together and focus it now on missions. The supremacy of God in preaching and the supremacy of God in praying came together for us like this. God has a tremendous passion to be glorified in creating and redeeming a world. And every human I know has a passion to be satisfied in their deep heart. And if these things were at odds, there would be no gospel in the world. But these things are not at odds. The gospel is that in prayer and in worship, they come together as one, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Now, it's incredibly important to realize that that satisfaction comes to its consummation when it flows over to other people and they are drawn into the experience of it. If you try to bottle up the satisfaction that God gives you in Himself, it will rot. And therefore, missions flows necessarily out of a passion for the supremacy of God, which is why I said that our church mission statement is, we exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, and then don't forget this phrase, for the joy of all peoples, with an S on the end, to highlight that missionary focus. All the unreached peoples in the world are to be brought into the joy that we have in the supremacy of God. Now, I have an outline for tonight as I talk about the supremacy of God in missions. And it's very simple. It goes like this. The promise is sure. The price is suffering. And the prize is satisfying. Those three points I want to make. So let me state the promise that I have in mind, and then we'll dig into these three points. The promise is this. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Spurgeon used to talk about how he loved to preach on the shells and the wills of the Bible. And I do too. I wrote a whole book called Future Grace, and all I mean is I love it when the Bible says, it shall be. Because when the Bible says it, I know it's going to be then. And when the Bible says, this gospel will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the peoples or nations, I know it's going to happen. And so the promise is sure. That's point number one. Now, under that point, I want to develop maybe four reasons why you may be confident tonight that this is sure. So that you can say to your young people and say to your retiring people who ought to be entering missions instead of going to golf courses in Nevada or wherever they park their RVs, they ought to be buying senior discount tickets to Mongolia. You can say to them, one of the most exciting reasons for being a part of this is because it cannot fail. It can't fail. Why be a part of something that is vulnerable and fragile and liable to fail? Now, here's reason number one why the promise is sure. Number one, God never lies. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, says the Lord, will never pass away. God never lies. Reason number two. The ransom has been paid. The ransom has been paid. And when a ransom by God has been paid, what he bought is coming home. He does not purchase in vain. Here's the text. Worthy art thou to open the seals, for thou wast slain, and by thy blood didst ransom men for God from every nation, and hast made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. When the ransom has been paid for people from every nation, they are coming home. Whatever it takes, the ransom will not be paid in vain. Do you remember the Moravians? This story? The Moravians were a great missionary people. It's like the CMA. And those young men got on the boats there in northern Europe, you remember. And as the boats were pulling out into the harbor, ready to sell themselves into slavery in the West Indies, never to come home again, they lifted their arms and shouted over the waters to their relatives that they'd never see again, may the Lamb receive the reward of His suffering. And you know what they were quoting? It was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he makes himself an offering for sin, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. He will see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He won't lose one of them. The fruit of the travail of the soul of the Son of God will come home through missions and in no other way. Therefore, the success of missions is certain. Oh, there's so many more texts we could refer to. I was in Amsterdam last year with the Frontiers folks. You know that mission to Muslims? Oh, what a radical group of martyrs they are, ready to give themselves all over the world to win Muslim peoples to Christ. And they introduced a young man who had been in jail for 40 days last summer and couldn't come to the annual meeting in prison in a Muslim country. And he got up and gave the testimony. And he said the text that sustained him was Acts 18:10, where the Spirit comes to Paul in the middle of the night and says, "Do not fear. Keep on preaching. I am with you. What can man do to you? I have many people in this city. I've redeemed them. I've bought them. And I will see to it that they are found, and I will use you to that end." And so my second reason for why you can know this promise is coming true is because the ransom has been paid. Here's reason number three. The glory of the Lord is at stake. I made much of that last night. I won't belabor it tonight, except to say this text from Romans 15. Christ was made a servant to the circumcised in order to show the truthfulness of God, in order that he might confirm the promises to the patriarchs, and in order that the nations might glorify God for his mercy. Why did he become a Jew incarnate in Palestine and suffer and die? So that the nations might glorify God for his mercy. There are many people who argue about what's the ultimate purpose of God in creation. And some argue that it is a manifestation of his love. That's almost exactly right. It's just not quite the ultimate thing. Because there in that verse, what you see is he became a servant to the circumcised in order that the nations might glorify God for his mercy. Mercy is penultimate, the glory of God is ultimate. But the glory of God is at stake in mercy reaching the nations and winning them to himself. And therefore, since the glory of God is at stake, it is the ultimate purpose of God in creation. Therefore, it cannot fail, because God did not create the universe to fail. He will not create in vain. Reason number four that you can count on the promise coming true and be a part of this without any fear of failure is that God is sovereign. Well, A.W. Tozer almost got it right tonight. We should follow our Presbyterian brothers and our Reformed forebears. I will not go with them all the way. I will. Now, I don't want to divide the house here, but let me tell you what I mean by that. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go up to such and such a town and spend a year there and get gain. What do you know about tomorrow? Your life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. Rather, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. That's a quote from the Bible. James chapter 4, verses 12 to 15. If the Lord wills, I will not drop dead before I finish this message. If the Lord wills, my plane will not crash tomorrow. If the Lord wills, my son Barnabas will not be killed in an uprising in Uganda. And if the Lord wills, my son will die. That's what I mean by going all the way. Now, it's one thing for John Piper to, in his comfort, in this air-conditioned room with hardly any problems in my life compared to what most people live with in the world, to say that. It's another thing for people who right now in this room have cancer, or had a child die last year. So let me let others bear testimony. Nathan comes to David, having committed adultery, having killed Uriah in effect, and says, "You are the man." And David repents and confesses after Nathan says, "Why did you despise the word of the Lord? Because you have done this, the child which was born to you will die." And the next verse, verse 15 of 2 Samuel 12 says, "And the Lord struck the child." Exodus 4:11. Who makes man seeing or blind? Who makes him dumb or deaf? Is it not I, the Lord? I had a man call me on the phone a few weeks ago, desperate. He said, "I got to come talk to you." I said, "Where are you calling from?" He gave me a city 15 hours away. I said, "Why in the world do you want to come talk to me?" He said, "Because I'm in the darkest time of my life." I said, "Well, surely there's somebody there who can help you. You need to drive to Minneapolis." And he said, "I have consulted with so many people here, and the first thing out of their mouth is to say, 'God didn't have anything to do with this.' And I know God has to do with this. I know God is sovereign over my life, and I've read your book, The Pleasures of God, and I can't find anybody that will start at a biblical starting point. And I think maybe you could help me." Has evil befallen a city unless the Lord has done it? Amos chapter 3, verse 6. I wonder how many of you saw in Christianity Today this amazing article a few months ago. Now, you all remember, those of you who are old enough, the martyrdom of the five missionaries in Ecuador. They were all speared to death with 9-foot-long spears. January 8, 1956 was the 40th anniversary. Last year, that's why this article came out, written by Steve Saint, the son of Nate Saint. So you have a son writing about a father who was speared to death by the Alca Indians. He has interviewed extensively the tribal people who did the killing. He's talked to the very murderers. And he discovered intrigue in the tribe regarding marriage things and some other things that were all part of why this came about. It was not a happenstance killing. There were things happening behind the scenes that accounted for this. He came to one point in this article. I carry this around with me because I was stunned by this sentence. I read it over and over again to see if I was reading it correctly. Here's his conclusion after interviewing and studying the situation as to why his father was murdered. As they described their recollections, it occurred to me how incredibly unlikely it was that the Palm Beach killing took place at all. Palm Beach was the little island where all the blood was shed. How unlikely it was that the Palm Beach killings took place at all. It is an anomaly that I cannot explain outside of divine intervention. Did you hear that? That's exactly the opposite of what almost everybody says about the work of God in missions, in order to get him off the hook when people suffer. And it isn't the way Steve Saint chose to do it. Let me read it again, because you got to get this. This is not me talking now. This is a testimony of a son who lost a father. It occurred to me how incredibly unlikely it was that the Palm Beach killing took place at all. It is an anomaly that I cannot explain outside of divine intervention. May I paraphrase that? God killed my father. Praise his name. Or to use the words of Job, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I go all the way because I believe the Bible goes all the way. And because God is that sovereign, he cannot lose. Nothing is in vain. Nothing. Not one drop of blood has ever been shed meaninglessly or in vain.
The gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world. The promise is indeed sure. And you've been listening to John Piper with the first main point to his message, The Supremacy of God in Missions. And we will pick up here tomorrow as we bring to a close his series, A Plea for God-Centeredness in the Church. Our time is just about at an end, but I did promise I'd let you know how to get these messages on CDs. All you have to do is call or write to us and ask for them. That's it. Just let us know that you would like to listen again to The Supremacy of God in Preaching, in Prayer, and in Missions, and we will send you all three CDs. Here is our address, Desiring God, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55406. Again, Desiring God, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, 55406. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-4700. Again, 888-346-4700. And you can also ask for them by email. That address is simply mail@desiringgod.org. mail@desiringgod.org. Today we heard about the sure promise, Friday the price, and the prize of spreading God's good news. Join us for the conclusion of John Piper's series, A Plea for God-Centeredness in the Church. Desiring God Radio is sponsored by Desiring God, Minneapolis, Minnesota.